In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I thank God who gave me this blessing to come and to take the blessing of the Pascha. And I thank my beloved fathers, Abuna Pshoy and Abuna Arseni. And I am so joyful to attend after the priesthood of Abuna Arseni. I love him. I remember what had happened on Holy Tuesday, so I can take benefits for my spiritual life. First of all, I will start with two verses, one in 1 Peter chapter 2 and one in 1 John chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 said that our Lord Jesus Christ left us an example to follow his footsteps. And St. John said, who says that he abides in him, he should walk as he walked. So how I do remember Holy Tuesday? I remember it with numbers. So Holy Tuesday has six questions. After our Lord cleansed the temple, the chief priests came to him asking, with what authority you did what you did in the temple? Who gives you this authority? So they ask our Lord about his credential. They ask him, this question is too ancient for them. They asked him this question in different ways. And our Lord said it many times, but they didn't believe him. So he wanted them to answer themselves. So he answered their question with a question. Tell me about the baptism of St. John the Baptist. Was it from God or from men? If they answered this question, it is the answer of their question. Because the baptism of St. John the Baptist, it is from God. And St. John the Baptist bore witness to our Lord Jesus Christ that he is the Messiah. When he said, this is the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. So out of malice, they said, we don't know. And out of wisdom, he said, I will not answer you. This is the saying of Saint Jerome. So after the chief priests asked this question, they came the Sadducees with impossible question. But our Lord answered the wisest answer to the hardest question on Wednesday, on Tuesday. They asked him about a lady married seven brothers. Why they asked this question, the Sadducees specifically? Because they don't believe in resurrection. And they believe only on the five books of Moses. So they are trying to prove that there is no resurrection. So our Lord Jesus answered them from the five books of Moses, that God is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is God of living. And he told them, you are deceived. So we see in our life, sometimes you find many opponents. Started with the chief priests, they come with the Sadducees. And after that, the Herodians. The Herodians, they asked to give taxes to Caesar or not. This not to understand or to hear an answer. This is a trap, malice. So our Lord said, do you have a coin? They said, yes, there is a coin. What is this picture? They said, the picture of Caesar. So he told them, you are occupied. You are slaves to Romans. So now, why is this dualism? Give to Caesar Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Give your heart to God. Give yourself to God. As St. Paul said in the beginning of Romans 12, offer your bodies living sacrifice. قدموا أجسادكم ذبيحة حية عبادتكم العقلية. So after the Sadducees came the scribes. What is the greatest commandment? It is a hard question because they study theology very well. But studying theology is good, but it is not enough. They know that they have 630 commandments, asking what is the greatest. So our Lord Jesus Christ told them to love God and to love your neighbor. I come to the Pascha, I hear the Gospels, I read the Gospel, but if I don't have love, I benefit nothing. Love of God and the love of neighbor. And allow me to tell you about 5 chapters, all of them chapters 13, all of them talking about love. John 13, we will read it on Thursday, Covenant Thursday. Love is the new commandment. How to prove that you are my disciples? When you love one another. John 13. Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you have love, you will not lie, you will not judge, you will not steal, you will not cheat, you will not gossip. So love is the fulfillment of the law. This is why St. Augustine said, love God and love neighbor and do whatever you want. Because when you love God and you love your neighbor, you will not do anything bad. 1 Corinthians 13, it is a very famous chapter, you know it very well. Love is the excellent way. If you know the language of the angels, if you know all the prophecies and all knowledge, if you offered all what you have, if you offered yourself as a sacrifice, if you have faith to move mountains, but without it, love, it is nothing. Hebrews 13, talking about the brotherly love, Philadelphus. It comes the word Philadelphia, loving of the brothers. And the example of loving of the brothers, it is Genesis 13, the love between our father Abraham and his nephew Lot. They separated, but when Lot was a captive, our father Abraham took 318 people and went to rescue him. So John 13, love is the new commandment. Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. 1 Corinthians 13, love is the excellent way. Hebrews 13, brotherly love. Example of the brotherly love is Genesis 13. I say it with reference because we want to reflect, to ponder upon them, to keep these treasures in our heart. So he answered the scribes, And he wants to put an end for this. So he asked them a question about the Messiah. Is he the Lord of David or the son of David? For us, we know the question, the answer. But for them, it was hard because they didn't have the enlightenment. So, do you know what is their answer? We wanted to kill him. When someone has no answer, he comes to violence. We wanted to kill him. And of course, when you read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10, the Messiah is the root of Jesse, and he is a branch from Jesse. Isaiah 11, 1 and 10. And in Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, so talking about the Holy Trinity, sit at my right hand. These are the six questions. What is else on Holy Tuesday? Eight wows. Eight wows in Matthew 23. I consider them as the opposites of the eight beatitudes in Matthew 5. The eight wows, it is not just for the Pharisees and the scribes. Actually, I confess, when I hear this gospel, we read it more often in the liturgies, I feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed. Why? Because I do these mistakes. What mistakes? Our Lord talking with them about the hypocrisy. They focus upon minor things and they forget about the major. Sometimes I do this. I focus upon minors. And I forget about the majors. I give you example. When I postpone the prayer till the end, I do whatever belong to the word. I am too busy and till I am tired, and after I am tired, I am coming to pray or to read my Bible. I should to do it first when I am fresh, focusing. And this, it makes every one of us to review. No, I don't want to focus upon minor, to focus upon major. Also, he told them that you take care very much, you give more attention to outward, and you forget about the inward. Woe to you, Pharisees and scribes, the hypocrites. Actually, when I read this in Matthew 23, I said that once they left our Lord Jesus Christ during the sermon in John 6, but this time they were astonished. He was very direct, like grabbing them. They are freezed and to listen to him. And he took them backward and forward. He told them, you say that if you would at the time of your forefathers, you wouldn't kill the prophets. So you are witness that you are the children of the murderers. You are serpents of a spring of vipers. You say that if you would at your the time of your forefathers, you didn't kill the prophets because they killed Isaiah. They sued him. They killed Jeremiah. They stoned him in Egypt. But not the Egyptians killed him, but the Jews. In the fifth of Bashans. They killed Ezekiel in the fifth of Bermuda this month, the Coptic month. For Ezekiel, they tied his legs in different animals and they made them to walk in opposite directions. So they split him. They killed Zechariah, the prophet, the son of Barakiah. And you say that if you would at the time of your forefathers, they killed the prophets, but you are going to kill the Son of God. And I'm not talking because of the Pharisees or the scribes. For myself, sometimes I judge my brother and I do worse. These are the eight woes. Six questions, eight woes. On Tuesday also, the two mites of the widow. To make me to focus not just about the quantity, but about the quality. The quantity. How many chapters you read, but how do you read it? I will tell you two verses. One in Mark 4, our Lord said, "Behold what you hear." Double 4 is 8. Look 8. "Behold how you hear." Behold what you hear. Behold how you hear. انظروا ما تسمعون انظروا كيف تسمعون. And this we needed during the prayer, during conversations, what we hear, how we hear, how we offer. The widow offered all what she had. She relied completely on God. Six questions, eight woes, two mites, and three parables today about the rejection of the Jews. The first is the parable of the two sons. The first said, his father told him, "My son, can you go to work in my vineyard?" He said, "Yes." But he didn't go. The second one, the younger one, "My son, can you go to work in my vineyard?" He said, "No." And he regretted. And he went. And he did. And to make me to focus upon the difference between the sayings and the doings. Sometimes we say good things, but it is more important what we do. We say it in sermons. Walk your talk. Walk your talk. Sayings and doings. When they refer to our Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in Luke chapter 24, the two disciples of Emmaus, they said he was mighty in action, in deeds, and in words. In Acts chapter 1, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ began to do and to say. Doing before saying. Doing before saying. Don't say something and you don't do it. Two sons. And the second parable about the wicked husbandmen. The owner gave them the vineyard and he traveled. Traveled, it means he gave them freedom. And in due season, he asked for the fruits. Insulted and injured, wounded the messengers. And when he sent his son, they killed him. I ask you, when our Lord said this parable, the Jews understand it or not? Yes, he told them what the owner will do to take the vineyard and to give it to new husbandmen. They said, "God forbid." And he told them the verse from Psalms. the stone which is rejected by the builders became the cornerstone. We are the new husbandmen. We should take lesson from the old husbandmen, not to repeat what they did. God asks every one of us to give fruits. And yesterday we heard about the fig tree had leaves but no fruits. And we will read it on Covenant Thursday about John chapter 15, the branch to abide in the vine to give good fruit. And your fruit to increase, to multiply, to multiply. So the third parable, the parable of the marriage wedding. He invited them. The invitation came from God. We don't deserve it. We are unworthy. But at the time of the wedding, nobody showed up. They didn't come. And they said, any excuse. I will examine the cattle. I will go to see my field. The last one, he said, I married, so he didn't see an excuse. Sometimes I find any excuse. I remember when I was in Upper Egypt, I went to visit a family and I said to the husband, he didn't come to the church. I said to him, I want you to come to the church. And he trying to find any excuses. When I'm trying to solve these excuses, I want him to come. And his wife said, قل له روح خلاص. I will come and just say it. I will come and you don't go. So even we don't find just valid excuse, if we can say there is a valid excuse. What is in Holy Tuesday also? So he said six questions, eight woes, two mites, three parables of rejection of the Jews. And he said today our Lord Jesus Christ, the great discourse, they call it the Olivet Discourse, about the destruction of Jerusalem and his second coming. If there is any important topic more than his second coming, the parousia. We are waiting for his second coming. We are looking for his second coming. The eschatology. To talk about the last things, to talk about the heavenly things. So he talked, they call it Olivet Discourse because they passed by the temple and they went up over the Olives Mountain and before them Jerusalem, and he said this discourse about the destruction of Jerusalem and the second coming, the signs of the second coming, as it, Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He said this discourse, but the intermingled the destruction of Jerusalem with the second coming, as you are looking for a mountain to see the mountain as one piece. But when you come closer, you will find the details. Here is a hill, and there is another hill. This part is too high. The prophecies is like this, to see it as one thing from far away. But when you come, you will find more details. This is the second come. And he said three more parables about how to be ready. The parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. the difference between them, as St. John Chrysostom said, all of them are virgins. All of them dedicating their lives. But the difference is that the wise, they had oil. And the foolish, they don't have oil. And the oil, according to St. John Chrysostom, the good deeds helping the needy, helping the poor. So even they struggled and they fought for keeping their chastity and their virginity, but they are not helping. They are not helping others. The second parable is the parable of the talents. He gave one five, gave one two, gave one talent. The one who took the one talent, what did he do? He buried it in the sand. I say this because in every church, in our churches, we see talents are buried. Every member in the church using the talent, the Holy Spirit gave each one of us talents, and different talents. Different talents because we are completing, not competing. And not to use it selfishly, not to use it for our ego, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of the service, for the edification of the church. For the edification of the church. So use your talent. Because God will reward you. Use your talent. And help the youngers to discover and to know their talents. If you want to know about the talents and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 14, and Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The last parable, when he talked about the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree. What is the parable of the fig tree? He said, when you see the fig tree giving leaves, you know that the summer is at hand, is close. So he told them, yeah, you are smart. You know the seasons. Why, when you come to spirituality, you don't know? St. Jude in his epistle said that the people sometimes, in what we call it common sense, they defile. Do you see someone to do something wrong in what is common sense? So you see the, you know the seasons, and you know from the leaves of the fig tree the signs around you. Why you don't have this discernment? Why you don't have this discernment? I wanted you to take this panoramic view for just Holy Tuesday to see how many treasures we hear during the Holy Week, and we want to gather these treasures because this week is the holiest time, and it is the harvest for our spiritual life to gather these treasures and to hide it in your heart, to keep it in your heart and to ponder and to reflect upon it, because our Lord Jesus Christ left us an example to follow his footsteps. 6 questions, 8 woes, 2 mites of the widow, 3 parables about the rejection of the Jews, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the second coming, and 3 parables, how to be ready and prepared. And he said lastly that the people will be like as the time of Noah. They were busy with worldly stuff, and they didn't enter into the ark of Noah, and they missed the opportunity. May God help us all and give us all grace and to take benefit from these spiritual days, these holy days, and glory be to our God forever. Amen.